Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find them on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beardly, and Scoopies for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And you can get your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat right now over at Inked Gaming. That's INKEDGaming.com. Got two awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale. They both look absolutely fantastic. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can buy those over at Inked Gaming. That's INKEDGaming.com. Every purchase supports the channel and is greatly appreciated. All right, so I've just had a lot of amazing people on this podcast over the last couple of years, and today's episode is going to be no different. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the man, the myth, the legend himself, Joe Johnson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being willing to come on the show. It's definitely awesome having you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I've just, like I said, we were talking earlier, and, you know, this has been the year of podcasts for me. I've done a lot of different segments, so it's been really cool to hop on these and do something different other than just play Magic or video games or tabletop RPGs. It's nice to just kind of chill back.
For sure. Yeah, so Joe, before we get started here today, since it really is topical for us as well, could you give a quick shout-out to all the cool stuff you do, especially the Tabletop Jocks channel?
Really, yeah. So started Tabletop Jocks back in January of this year, 2022. That's what year we're in, right? We started this channel because I wanted to branch out, and you know, I'm a man of many hobbies, and so I love D&D. Really wanted to, you know, focus on that, different TTRPGs, board games, video games, you name it. I'm probably into it. Nerd-wise. And also do a little magic, you know, on there as well. So yeah, I started this also with the intention of bringing in more marginalized groups that aren't usually seen in the tabletop scene. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely wanting to spread that light and that joy through, you know, I know as a Black content creator, the things that I've had to go through to get into the space and to be recognized and be respected. And I know there's plenty of other people out there, especially in the marginalized communities, that want to have a voice in that space. And my goal is to making sure that they all get a say-so and not just the, you know, the top peeps in the industry, but also, you know, everybody who wanted to have a voice. So, you know, if I could create a safe space for everyone and build that community from scratch, hey, you know, so be it. So that's the goal of Tabletop Jocks. And yeah, just keep plugging away at it.
Yeah, and it's really amazing what you and so many other people have been doing to try to make this a very, very safe and inclusive space. I know I had Logan, aka Seraph Six, on a while ago talking about how you can be a really good community host, and I feel like that's a really good callback to what we're talking about today, is just trying to be able to foster those really inclusive communities where everyone feels safe and welcome to be able to actually partake in this hobby, because Magic is great. I mean, the fact that we can just play interdimensional space wizards with Magic and other, you know, mechs and whatever is going on these days, you know, with each other just by slinging cardboard, honestly, is really where a lot of the game is at. And being able to provide that kind of space for everyone is cannot really be understated, and unfortunately is kind of underrated these days, especially in the larger community. I mean, I feel like with MTG Twitter, we're typically kind of at the cutting edge of a lot of this, But when you go in the community, a lot of those social currents are still a little bit slow to respond, even if it's second nature to us, right? Since we're dealing with this every day, we're working on this every day, it's still taking a lot of time for that to get out in the greater community. So it's great that you're providing this space and really having that impact, because we really need thousands more people like you, Joe.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And also, like, shout out to Seraph 6. He actually inspired a couple decks that I just recently built after playing his Fight Club deck. I had so much fun. But yeah, no, it is weird because you see the people on Twitter, you see people on the internet who are, forward thinkers or people who are like-minded that are encouraging this, and then you get these comments. I just read something on Nitpicking Nerds Twitter just recently, and they were talking about they're getting a lot of nasty comments talking about pronouns. And it's people just gotta wake up. At the end of the day, you gotta know that it's not your rights being infringed upon because you're being inconvenienced. I think a lot of people who are against that are just they're archaic. They're living in a different time. People who don't want to change for the benefit of others are going to slowly, burn out. And we're going to keep succeeding in that right to keep moving forward and keep everyone together and putting the right people, right, like-minded individuals in the same ballpark. And that's just what's going to happen. So they can either basically get down and lay down, it's just that's just what it is.
And I mean, really, we want to make sure that any disagreements that are on the socials are just over card evaluations, right? We don't want this being about personal attacks. I think that's really what this comes down to is, if there's going to be discourse, we'd rather it be about, what's a seven, what's not a seven, the power level discussion. Obviously, I've talked about how much I hate that whole concept personally, but what we don't want is exactly what you just said, Joe, is we don't want people feeling like they're unsafe in this community. And unfortunately, as we keep seeing basically every day on Twitter, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't even want to know half the stuff, because I'm only seeing a little bit of it myself. I mean, whatever is being posted online, but I know there's just so much that's going unsaid, so much abuse just being thrown out there. It's tragic, honestly. And the fact that we as a community are trying to find ways to circumvent this the best we can is really admirable.
No, I mean, honestly, it's just treat people how you want to be treated, the golden rule, the way you were raised in either by your parents or the streets or whatever, allowed you to have that inspiration. It's just be cool. It's so much easier to be nice to someone or, give somebody a compliment or say something nice about someone than to just be, a nasty person. It's not indicative of, something has to be going on involved with that person's life to want to hurt people or reach out and say nasty stuff. And I honestly grew up in one of the worst places, I think, in pretty much in America. I mean, it's pretty bad. Flint, Michigan, is where I grew up. And I was very lucky to have the parents that I had, that I have, they're still alive, that allowed me to have that, I guess that just the hindsight of like, hey, this isn't the end, this is the beginning. You need to leave out of here so you can start to build your legacy and move on, go on to college, go on to this, go on to that, do other things, other than live in this small-minded, community. And the people that I grew up around, I don't really talk to anybody, from high school, which is kind of unfortunate. There's a couple of people that I'm still cool with here and there, but everybody was just so small-minded that I had to kind of, break away from that. Otherwise, I would have taken that out into my life and, been hindered by that. So I'm really lucky that I had the parental guidance and, friends that were around me to push me to new heights and to different levels to achieve and to keep succeeding.
Definitely, definitely. Having those support networks is extremely important to be able to be your best. So, yeah, it's definitely great to be able to hear that. So anyway, kind of just wanted to ask you, what are some of the cool things that are going on over at Tabletop Jocks right now? I know that y'all have an ongoing EDH segment, but what are some of the really cool things that are going on there right now that you want to share with the listeners?
Well, we have a lot of stuff going on. Just in general, like my whole goal with Tabletop Jocks was to create an umbrella of content. And with Tabletop Jocks, it was kind of a joke me and my buddy came up with. I actually told him a story, and I kind of always tell the story. If you probably listen to any other podcast, you probably hear this one too. But I remember being in line for some tickets to this, like, I forget what it was, some kind of nerd event, and I was really excited. And this kid turned around to me and he said, "Oh, is this, are we in line for like basketball tickets or like this, like a sports event?" And I knew he didn't mean anything by that, but just the physique and the way I look and the way everyone else looked, and he was just kind of like almost taken aback that I was there. And I was like, no, I'm here for what you're here for too. And the look in his face was like shock and awe, like, wait, what? Like, I don't get it. Like, wait, you should be over there with the, cool. But I'm like, I am here with the cool people. Like, y'all are cool too, man. Like, this is not a new thing. So I, I tweaked with the name a little bit, and I was like, man, what am I gonna call this? I'm like, well, it's called Table because that's what we look like. So that's just what it is. So cool with Cassius, cool with cool Posty, cool with a lot of other sports guys. I got some MMA fighters might be coming on the show soon to throw
Nice.
down some magic. So that's gonna, it's just this whole sport is the whole game is just, it's so inclusive and so, so many people that can be drawn into this. And that's really my goal for this whole thing, is to try to reach out to as many people who have not been used to or letting their nerve flag fly. Because I let my nerve flag fly very late in the game. And after I said, you know what, let me just embrace this. Let me just full on go, all right, because this is my first year going to Comic-Con. This is my first year going to, MTG Vegas. I'm going to Magic 30, just bought my ticket, let's go. Yeah, it's just, we got a lot of stuff going on over there. We're expanding, trying to do some, I went to Evo this year, trying to do some video game content on there. I'm fighting game head. That's kind of where those are my roots, kind of where I grew up at. We're gonna try to do maybe like a cosplay show with like RuPaul's Drag Race kind of situation. We have contestants come out that are cosplayers and, have them kind of give their side of the story and maybe expose them to the world so that maybe they can get some jobs in maybe some of these big Marvel movies or, costumers in these big movies. Because some of these people, they only have the cons to go to, and I'd rather let them shine on any other level. But there's so many things that I want to do. I have a script, I have a couple of scripted shows that I'm writing that I'm really passionate about that highlight just being a black nerd in general and just how that feels and how that, how that looks. And I kind of want to, highlight that. So a lot of different avenues that I have for Tabletop Jocks, and this is only the start. I mean, we're 8 months in. And like I said, it's just three different shows that have come out so far, but it's gonna expand. And as the channel grows and money starts flowing in more, speaking of money, holla at the Patreon. And yeah, no, as that expands and we get more budget, we're gonna be allowed to do more. But it's really up to the people. If people want to see it, they want to see it, and if they don't, we move on to the next. But the sky's the limit, and I'm definitely not gonna quit. So it's there's sky's the limit for Tabletop Jocks. I'm being around here for a while. It's nice to have my own platform to kind of do what I want to do. It's really cool to be able to have a voice in the community, in the nerd community as well. It's just really cool. I was at Evo, and I'm talking my head off, but I was at
That's okay.
Evo, and The thing that really that got to me about the community, about the fighting game community, was I looked around and I saw so many people of color, saw so many black faces, saw so many brown faces, saw so many Asian faces, saw, it was like, oh my God, this is so inclusive. Like, why isn't Magic and D&D like this? Like, this is y'all get it. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's kind of slept on. So I was kind of sad that we haven't, as creatives, we haven't been able to create a safe space where every, like, you look around, it's United Colors of Barentown, Barentown. It's so many different hands holding and having fun. And I was like, man, I wish the MTG space and the TTRPG space was like this. But that's my goal, is like to make this space as inclusive as, I mean, people walk around in furry costumes, people walk, just living, everyone's just living their best life. And I was like, I love this. This is so dope. In the middle of Vegas, not caring, just being like, hey, this is me, and I'm gonna let my nerd flag fly. So
Yeah, and it's really cool to be able to see you being able to take full advantage of this and really being able to run with it, make such great content. I mean, got a lot of eyes on the show, a lot of big fans, you got a lot of amazing guests on there, some of who I've had the opportunity to play games with or work with in the past, and some who maybe someday I'll have a chance to work with. But again, just a lot of really cool people doing a lot of really cool stuff and just getting that diversity message out there, that and inclusivity message out there. That's really what we need, and it's great that you're one of the creators who's really at the forefront of this and really help pushing that message, because we still have a long way to go, unfortunately. And it's going to take all of us, just even this episode right here, just trying to do what we can to try to make everything extremely inclusive. And like I said, it's going to be a long road, and there's a long way to go. I don't there's like we said, there's already been a lot of challenges, a lot of things that have to be overcome, but again, everything has to start somewhere. So I'd like to think that we're making progress as a community, and hopefully, as time goes on, things will change.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the outlook for people in general, like I said, there's a lot of, voices that are trying to, gatekeep or, hold back to the traditional ways. And those people are very loud. So it can kind of seem, very downtrodden when you're introducing a new idea. And, you get a lot of these, people who are traditionalists, or, I don't want to like slam anybody, they're just used to their ways, setting their ways. And then you get something introduced, new to the idea of like, hey, what about we let everybody, come in? Or what about we not, keep these people out? And, you get these groans and moans, and they'll always be that. But for new people coming in, to introduce new people into the game, like when someone comes up to me and it says, hey man, I really dug your show. I dig your vibe. I showed my homegirl your channel. We watched it together. We literally went to the LGS and we started, picked up some decks and started playing, learn how to play. That's what I love hearing. I love hearing that, because we're reaching out to new people, reaching out to new people who have that outlook of being like, oh man, this is what Magic is. Not they don't even understand what the old archaic, formula of people being, just old and groggy, and that's the old way. But they're reaching into the newness and going, man, this is hype. I can have, a party, have a bunch of people over, and we can all be playing Magic and playing music and dancing and having a good time. And that's just what it is. It's like it's all inclusive. So that's that brings me a lot of light when I see, when I see that behavior, and when I see somebody, especially when someone comes up to me. I had this happen at MTG Vegas, and I brought a tear to my eye. Like, dude walked up to me, and I'm 6 foot without the fro, and I was looking up, and I was like, man, this dude's like 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". And bro had tears in his eyes. He's like, bro, like the stuff you're doing for the community, I can like finally look at somebody outside of the content creators that I look at and see myself in someone else. That meant the world to me. And whew, I'm not gonna break down. It's all good. But it's just, you get chills. It's like, man, this is what it is. This is change. So yeah, man, it's that, and just just having a good time, you know, just having a fucking good time. Sorry, you know, it's the first F-bomb, but like
Ah, who cares?
having
I don't think anyone really minds, so no worries.
yeah, just having a good time, you know, just in the in this space, and we got one life to live, and we got the whole rest of our lives to just have fun and be around each other and spread love and just be cool, you know. Like, if you don't want to be cool, if you want to be sourpuss and be a mean person, go off in your little cottage and go off in the woods and you know, just be there, and maybe you start a little community of people who don't want to be around nobody, and then y'all can do your own thing. It'd be like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. But, you know, the weird twist is at the end is everybody else is having a party and y'all not, you know. Yeah.
I never thought we were gonna bring up M. Night Shyamalan on a podcast episode, but here we are. Yeah. So and again, Joe, it's just so fucking cool. There we go. I said it. It's fucking cool.
Hey, let's go. Let's
Yeah.
go.
We're gonna have the explicit tag on here, but who cares? It's all about magic in the end. But yeah,
Exactly. Let's get it.
it's so cool that you have had this experience of people coming up to you and saying that you have been a foundational influence in their life to get into magic. I mean, that right there, I think that is the pinnacle of everything that all of us as content creators want to have, is to know that we're having an impact on the community at large, and to know that your work and what you're doing, what your friends are doing, are getting others to find the same joy that we find in this game. I really don't think there's a higher compliment than that, honestly, is to know that we are actually having an impact out there in this weird, ever-evolving space. I mean, magic just has so many different attractions to it. And to know that as creators, we have that platform and we can actually move people in a certain way and change their perspectives and just make them feel comfortable and welcome in the space. Like I said, I don't think there is anything better you can do, or anything that can make you feel better as a creator than that.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head on that one. Like, honestly, that's you know, once I, you know, when I was growing up, that was, you know, a main goal of mine is to, you know, change the lives of people and make them see that, you know, the things that are going on in your community, especially like, and I grew up in a black community, you know, like that was very much like, hey, you know, ball is life. You got, you know, a couple ways to get out of the hood. Either you know, you slang dope, or you know, you play sports, and that was kind of it, you know. And people didn't look at all the other different facets and all the other different ways to make a name for yourself or make something for yourself. So I used, you know, my tools and my goals, and I was like, look, you know, that's the reason why I'm an actor now. It's like, hopefully to influence other people to be like, yo, there's more paths to get out of your situation. There's so many paths to get away from, you know, being downtrodden or the bullshit or, you know, whatever you're going through, or an escape, especially creatively. There's so many different facets now to express yourself, through, you know, TikTok, through YouTube, through, you know, just so many different ways. So, you know, everybody needs to just let the nerd flag fly, be a kid again, and just have fun with whatever you're doing. If you're not waking up with a smile on your face thinking about what you're gonna do for, you know, for your energy that's around you, then you're doing something probably not fulfilling for yourself. So that's the goal, is to get people to wake up with that. So then you won't get the sourpusses, you won't get the people who are, you know, downtrodden or trying to keep things, you know, at bay, because they'll find some kind of happiness as well. Because if, you know, if you have somebody that's speaking to you or does something mean to you or says something rude or, you know, has a negative comment about a certain thing, they're going through something themselves. They're going through whatever they're going through, and that's on them. And they're trying to permeate that through everyone else. But if you spread love and you spread joy and you spread happiness, man, sky's the limit. Everybody's gonna feel that. And they're gonna be like, man, you know what? I fucked up. I was being mean today. And you know what? I'm gonna spread some love too. Because they people, everybody's spreading love and joy. And that just, you know, they just that'll encompass their whole aura. And And that will permeate throughout the masses. And that's just what we need to keep doing. We need to keep spreading love and joy and just, I know that there's a lot of bullshit going on in the world, but let's all be, also be real with it and try to, the people that are politicians that are trying to, fix that and get people in office that, I'm just talking to a whole different starting to turn to a whole different thing, but
That's okay. Don't
getting
worry.
people in office who really, want to change the world and really, want to vibe with the community and spread love and spread joy instead of giving it to, the bullshit, politics and money, laundering. And there's so many billionaires in the world, and I've seen this meme before, but so many billionaires in the world, nobody chose to become Batman. Like, come on, man. Like, it's like somebody got to be the hero out here. It's and money is a made up thing. We have a it's a made up thing that we can easily, fix the homeless population, fix their, mental health. Everybody needs to have, a therapist. Even if you think everything is great, fuck it, just have a therapist, somebody to talk to on a third source, so you can know that, hey, okay, you're starting to get off little rails. Let me bring you back to the life, because that's what I'm here for. And it's nice to bounce things off. And I started seeing a therapist back in, I want to say, October of last year, and it's done wonders for my life. And it's the first time I've ever been able to vent to someone about, all these experiences that I've been going through. And I think it's done a lot on my mental health and my psyche. And even thinking about mental health is a new idea for me, because I didn't grow up with that. So I always thought, if you go to a therapist, you crazy. Like, oh man, you crazy. You going to go see a shrink, man. You got some problems. And it's like, no, it's the bring it all back in, Sorry, I got off on a tangent.
Hey, no worries there, Joe. I mean, these are very relatable issues. And honestly, the whole political situation, it's really no different than what we've been talking about with the card games, and with the gaming communities, is that you still just need to have those voices from all over, whether it's in politics, whether it's just at the EDH table, is that it's really no different at the end of the day. I mean, obviously there's a lot of differences if you really want to break it down, but the idea is the same, I think. So yeah, that it may be a different platform in a way, but it's still the same concept. And yeah, definitely something to look for on that front. And yeah, I mean, again, just going back to your acting career, I mean, it was really cool seeing that Cricket ad you did a while back on TV. It's like, oh my God, I know that guy. And yeah, that was really cool. And just like, this guy can be an actor, he can be doing all this cool stuff, but he also plays magic. And that I feel the same way when I've seen Cassius Marsh play as well on TV. Obviously, back in the day when he got drafted in the NFL, I didn't know that he played magic, but I mean now that I do, and now that I know that he does as well, it's like, we have something weird in common. It's like I can't be any less athletic, but there's something in common with an athlete who has that visibility, and same with you. It's like there are people out there who are famous who also share this hobby that I do and are doing the same thing that I'm doing, and that's really fucking cool at the end of the day. So yeah.
And it's the same thing when I met Austin Posey. When I met him, I was kind of trying to, like, giving him space, Okay, cool. He's this dope that he's in the LGS. That's cool. And he looks over at me, and I at the time I was like, oh, okay, I'm looking behind me, like, he can't be looking over at me, Post Malone. And he's like, yo, Big Joe, what up? I'm like, the fuck? And he's like, yeah, man, I've seen you on game nights, bro. Like, what's good? And I'm like, wait, what? Like, all right, cool. But
Whoa.
it's crazy, because it's just, we're all people at our core. No matter what we've been through, no matter what we're going through, whatever walk of life we are in, we're all people. We all bleed the same blood. We're all the same people at the end of the day. So, you see a lot of people, a lot of different, celebrities, a lot of different, people on different forums, or different social circles, but we can all fit into that same bubble, because we're fucking people, and we should care and respect and love all people. I sound like I'm on some like, hey man, bro, what's going on? Just love all people. but
That's
no, it's
okay.
like, you know, it's you know, when I met Posty and hung out with him, and you know, started hanging out with Cassius, and you know, it's just like at the end of the day, it's like people, you know, everybody's homie, you know, everybody's on their own shit. So, you know, just vibe. As long as y'all vibe out, hey, who cares? You know, I started reaching out to more people, started hanging out with Gabrielle Luna. Everybody's like, oh man, you chilling with the Terminator, you chilling with, you know, Ghost Rider. I'm like, yeah, but he's the homie, he's cool. You know, we vibe out on the same shit. You know, and it didn't take much for people to reach out. And I'd say, you know, my biggest thing, if people feel like they aren't on, I guess, the same capacity or on the same level, just remember you're a person, they're a person, and they should be, you know, treated with the same amount of respect as you want to be treated with. And, you know, if you want to reach out, you want to, you know, quote unquote, shoot your shot, or just be like, hey man, I appreciate your work, I'm a fan. You know, more than likely, they're gonna be a fan of your work too. And y'all just vibe out. And that's really what it was, you know? It's like the people that I've been, you know, talking to, you know, Andrew Dismukes, I went to SNL, saw a show, saw him, you know, I'm going to see him next week. He's doing a comedy show. I'm a huge fan. And he was like, yeah, I'm a huge fan of yours. I'm like, well, shit, man, let's hang out. You know, it's that kind of energy. It's that kind of vibe. So, you know, I guess my advice to anyone, if you want to, you know, excel, get past your, you know, go outside of your comfort level and shoot your shot and hang out with whoever you want to hang out with. You know, they may be busy, but, you know, whatever, shoot your shot.
Yeah, that's some really good advice right there. Definitely something that even I need to work on a lot, just my personal life. So, you know, and as a creator as well, is just, you know, get out there, because people are always happy to talk to you. So, yeah, it's you never know what'll happen, I guess, at the end of the day, until you give it a try.
So Wayne Gretzky, 99% of the shots. You know, everybody heard that one before, but it's true. You know, like, you got to take your shot. You know, it's like, we got one life to live. We don't know how long we're here for. We all know what's at the end, because that's just what it is. But we don't know what's in front of us, the next foot forward or the next step. So just, you know, live the life that you want to live and embrace the best version of yourself. And that may never come. It may take tweaking and working on it. And, you know, myself, I'm a Capricorn. So I'm like, cool, I conquered this mountain. I see another mountain in the distance. I'm gonna go conquer that one. Oh man, there's another mountain in the distance. I'm gonna go conquer that. So my life is always is gonna be on a slant of progression, and I'll never get to the pinnacle. I'll never reach that, because, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. I just know that it's always gonna be involved with work and hard work and dedication and determination and crushing my goals and being like, all right, cool, I crushed all these goals. Let me make some more until I can go crush them.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, yeah, we've had a really great discussion about a lot of cool things here, and let's not take anything away from that, but I think for the second half of the show, we should really just talk about EDH and really what gets you excited and, you know, about slinging imaginary spells. I mean, we've played a couple games in the past, but it's been a long time, and I just kind of want to pick your brain on what you enjoy most about this format and what really keeps you coming back to this magic cardboard addiction that I guess we all share.
Oh, the gathering, just hanging with homies and slinging spells, like, you know, the different personalities. I'd say this, the right pod will make you play forever. The wrong pod will make you never want to play again. And cultivating that pod and being that person in the pod that makes everyone want to come back to this game is a delicate dance. Because ultimately, you know, you have people who are competitive. I'm very competitive. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna front. You know, I went to fucking Evo, you know, last weekend. You know, it's like, I was there to compete in fighting games. Like, that's just what it is. It's just one mano a mano. But at the end of the day, I'm looking around and I'm like, you know, how is everyone gonna have fun? How are we gonna relax into our decks and be like, you know what? It is what it is. Whatever goes on in this game. And I think that that's essential, especially with the Rule Zero conversation coming into effect. I think it's been around for about maybe a year and a half. or maybe even more. But I think that that conversation is so essential to having a good time. And I think it should be catered to having a good time. People shouldn't worry about, oh man, well, I'm giving all my deck secrets, or I'm giving this, or I'm giving that. I'm like, well, homie, are you presenting the facts of having a good time? Is there anything that feels bad? I think those are the conversations we need to start having. Hey man, is there anything that makes y'all feel bad about this game? Like, oh, I hate land destruction. Oh, I hate, when somebody, counters my spells over and over again. I can't play the game. I hate when someone discards my hand and has Narset out. And it's okay, cool. Let me either, that's in my deck. But if you know that that is a thing that makes people feel bad, even though you're going to win the game, sandbag it. Put it away. Keep it. Or hey, I got this card. Can I discard this card? Because I know this will make everybody feel bad. Can I just discard this card and draw another one? I'm sure the table would be like, yeah, go for it. Like, I don't want that to happen. That's gonna, blow Armageddon. That's, I just started building a board state. Everybody wants to, see what the decks are capable of. And I build decks that swing. I turn my creature sideways, and I think that maybe that's from growing up in the fighting game community in the background, playing, Tekken, Mortal Kombat, and Street Fighter, and Smash Bros. Like, you got to get in there, So that's kind of where I gravitate towards. If my deck can't turn sideways and swing, whether it be Voltron, whether it be tokens, or just a massive amount of creatures just coming into the thing, doing their thing, then that's what gets my jollies off. So, Toxic Drill players, get out of here.
Oh man, I have some really bad beat stories with Toxrill, because honestly, Joe, you and I are very similar. Is I love combat decks. There's a reason I build a lot of Boros decks. I just love tokens. I love creatures. I love white. I love red. I love just swinging out and just doing stupid things and bashing people in the face with a bunch of creatures. I mean, there's really nothing better, I think, than doing that. And yeah, it's definitely a viable strategy. I'm not gonna lie. I love the combat stuff, but again, yeah, it's just really going back to your earlier point there, is that yes, Rule Zero is the foundation of our format and needs to be that way. I know I've done a couple episodes on social expectations, had a great episode with the amazingly talented Bobby Christine about that a long time ago. Probably hasn't been as long as I think it has, but it feels like it's been a long time ago, right? And yeah, just a great hour plus episode of how you just set expectations at the table. Maybe not necessarily Rule Zero itself, again, kind of how you interpret it, but trying to set that box, set the stage for, hey, we want to make sure we have this extremely interesting and really good experience here, right? And that's really what it ends up boiling down to. And I've definitely noticed a little bit more of this in my local game stores, but not as much as I'd still like to have. We still have the, numeric power level discussions and, a lot of disagreements about what exactly constitutes different levels, if we want to say that. And so, I mean, I feel like I have to be the one driving the conversation a lot of the time, unfortunately. So it's just, there's a long way that we have to go on that front, but the fact that there has been a change is also really nice to see, that at least it's not just parallel discussions. I think it's getting out there. It's just obviously it's going to take a long time for everyone to get on that particular train, and I don't know if everyone ever will, unfortunately. But that's we just got to do the best we can, right? And hope for the best.
I mean, also different strokes, Everybody wants to play with different people, and there's some people who are very against Rule Zero or talking about their decks, and that's fine. Like I said earlier, you let them go off in the distance and play whatever what they want to play with themselves and be miserable and have, not fun and try to win every game ever. And that's for them. They can go over there, and when they see the party going on and everybody's drinking and having a good time and got the party hats, and we're hype about each other's decks, and we're hyping each other up to win. And they're gonna look over and be like, this is how Magic should be. It's like, well, we're playing Magic how we think it should be. So y'all can do whatever y'all want to. We gonna have fun over here. And,
Yeah,
I think
for
also
sure.
too, there's a lot of quick little questions that you can ask. Instead of, I think the power level thing is very, not everybody has a different power level of what, decks could be. I try to lead the conversation with, hey, how fast is your deck trying to win? If you had the most ideal hand in your whole deck, if you had the best seven cards in your deck, how fast could you win with that hand? If you had the God hand, you know, God's your hand, how fast could you win? And then on average, how fast is your deck trying to go off? And that lets me gauge whether or not, you know, it's a quick little thing that, especially when we're in our Discord, you know, we try to implement. I don't let people have, you know, conversations that aren't rule zero. I think that's just a general standard. That's what we're doing. This is the Discord. If you're not about that, you're not going to have fun in this Discord. You know, that's what it is. Everybody's inclusive. Everybody's having fun. And that lets me know, okay, cool. Maybe I won't go for my Samut deck or my Sithis deck. Maybe I'll grab Taysa, or maybe I'll grab, you know, a new deck that I built that's kind of, you know, more geared towards, you know, I guess we call it what, Battlecruiser? I want to do, you know, Battlecruiser, you know, so I'm like, there's no infinite combos. And I think that's too, you know, it's like just being open and honest with what your deck could do. It allows people to relax into, oh, it is what it is. And if you let people know, hey, this is what my deck can do, and then your deck does that, and then no one's like, all right, cool, let's shuffle up, let's play again. You said your deck could do that. It did the thing. It did it on turn this. All right, cool, let's get another game in. Mm-hmm. You know, let's move on. So yeah, it's all about the gathering. Real talk.
Yeah, I really can't agree with you more there, Joe, is that the gathering really is the best part. I know that a lot of the listeners out there who may follow me on Twitter probably got sick of all my pictures from Command Fest Bellevue last month in Bellevue, Washington. And just that was the kind of experience that I really needed to get it back into. It's like, this is really where the game is at. Because honestly, I can just go on Spell Table anytime I want in theory and just find a game. But being in person really adds something to it, especially when you're also interacting with a lot of people who you admire or people you've worked with in some capacity, you've played with before. I mean, that right there cannot be understated to the point where it's like you're just geeking out. It's a Magic convention, so you should be geeking out. You should be nerding out, right? But then you're just going that extra level. It's like, okay, well, now I'm actually playing with all these people I have come to know online, and this is just this is the coolest thing. And yeah, conventions and even just playing your local LGS. I mean, there are definitely benefits to Spell Table, but there are always going to be benefits to also playing in person, whether that's at LGS, playing at a con, or just honestly playing in your apartment or in your basement or something. There's just something about getting together in person. And it doesn't have to be EDH too. I mean, I've had a lot of fun just playing Jumpstart with some buddies of mine, and just a lot of really cool things you can do with this game just, you know, by shuffling up and just playing Magic. I mean, I really can't say it anything more than that. It's just gathering really is the magic at the end of the day, if you can swing that.
Really, it really is, honestly. You know, and there's competitive formats. There's, you know, there's so many different facets of this game that can, whatever you're into, it will cater to, and it'll hit that, you know, that little special place in your heart that that you find endearing about the game, or you find endearing about whatever hobby you're into. You know, everybody has those different hobbies that, you know, they're like, oh, whether they collect, you know, shoes, or they, you know, drive a lot of cars, or they fix one car really, really nice and they keep it. You know, everybody's got different hobbies, but there's something inside of that hobby that gives you that sense of peace and purpose and joy that you want to do. And even for Magic being a competitive hobby sometimes, you know, and we're, you know, EDH being casual, you know, there's also CEDH, but there's something that sparks joy in everyone who plays this game. No one sits down and goes, all right, I'm gonna have a bad time. You know, hopefully no one sits down and says that, because then maybe you might want to pick a different hobby, you know, you're having them, or a different pod. You know, like I said, the pod is everything for me. You know, when you sit down, I've encountered this, and I'm pretty sure everybody's encountered this, where, you know, you sit down in a pod of people and you kind of, you know, get the weird looks or the weird vibes, or, you know, people just being I don't know, you know, not inclusive. And then you're like, well, all right, cool, let me bounce from this pile. Just, I would say, if in the future, for anybody who's feeling that, just bounce, just leave. Like, it's not worth being around a terrible pile of people when you could easily meet your best friend or your future spouse or your, you know, another person or your tribe, you know, people that you really, really vibe with. And I've been very fortunate to run into, especially this year, so many wonderful individuals that I've definitely deemed my tribe and, you know, loved and appreciated. And like you said, you know, you meet people on the internet and then you meet them in real life and you're like, oh man, you were exactly the person I thought you were. Or, you know, just like, oh man, I knew I would love your vibe. And, you know, when I go to these, you know, when I went to MTG Vegas, I had the same experience. I'm looking forward to, you know, Magic Fest, or Magic 30, I want to say. And definitely looking forward to Magic Summit in November. So, you know, there's a lot of things coming up. You know, we're doing our last tabletop drop shoot this month. At the end of this month, that'll be a wrap for us for the end of the year. That'll take us into next year, and then we can kind of, you know, take a little breather, you know, because we've been going, you know, we've been going all year. So it's been nice to see, you know, where this is taking us so far. And like I said, sky's the limit, man. But yeah, definitely finding your tribe is definitely like key to playing Magic. And once you find that, I think that the joy will be endless.
Yeah, that's really cool. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. So before we get to the end of the show here, Joe, again, I think the best question to ask is there a deck that you've been working on or are thinking of working on here that you just want to talk about for a couple minutes? Something you're really excited to share with the listeners out there?
A good question. You know, there are decks that I will never, there are decks, you know, those decks that you'll never take apart. So I have those decks I'll always want to work on and tweak. I really want to find a Jund deck that I love, because I love Gruul Gang Gang, Rakdos Gang Gang, and if you put them together, It should be a good time. But I kind of tend to fall into red white, green white, Naya, green red. That's kind of been like my comfort zone. So I think Jund will kind of take me out of that comfort zone. I mean, I have Saskia, she's all four colors that I play at least. And the reason why a lot of people say, oh, you don't play blue, like, you know, hey, you hate blue. I'm like, I don't hate blue. I just don't want to become the villain. You live long enough to see yourself become a villain and start playing blue and start doing dirty stuff. Y'all don't want me to play blue. I'll just be the villain at the table every time.
Oh no.
I'll go straight up Two-Face, Mr. Freeze. I really want to build a Jund deck. I'm trying to work it out. I actually built Zangief from the new Street Fighter collection.
Uh-huh.
And I took it apart in 2 days because I was like, man, this ain't working. Let me start back from scratch. Because I think I like his mechanic, but it's not as consistent as the mechanic could be. Because it's like, I feel like you want to like Voltron him up and make him big. And I mean, I already have Voltron decks. Like I have Akiri, which is my main Voltron deck. And then I have Lightpaws, where I feel like that's my main like Aura Voltron deck. Mm-hmm. I guess Blanca could be considered Voltron too, because I, you know, suit them up in auras and it's Chantress deck. So I try to, I mostly fluctuate between those three archetypes of like swinging. So, but my Samut deck is probably the deck I'm known for the most and the deck I'll work on forever. I'll never stop tweaking that deck. There'll always be little things I could like insert into that deck and make it better. Even Austin, he was like, yo, let me get that Samut list. Let me see what's in that. I gave him the list. He's like, you don't run no instances of sorceries? What's going on with this, Joe? And I was like, because I don't need them, baby. I don't need them. All I need is my creatures. My creatures can do all the things. You know, it's a toolbox deck. It really makes me think. You know, I can hand somebody that deck, and if they don't know what they're doing, they'll be like, man, how do you win with this so much? This is, I don't know what to do. It's like, you become one with that deck, you're so in tune with it. You're like, oh, I know exactly what to go get in this situation for this specific time for this with this specific board state. I know exactly what to go get to make myself get out of this. It's just such a cool interaction and feeling to knowing you've grown with a deck that long and you can have that much of a, it's almost like, you know, having a pet, like, you know, being, having that bond, or having a, you know, a little dog or a little cat or whatever, you know, you have, that bond with that deck is so tight that you're like, yo, I know exactly what to do in this moment to make this, this situation, you know, work out for me. Mm-hmm. So I really love that about my decks.
Yeah, and remember out there, listeners, is that instants and sorceries are great, but creatures are also great too. So don't skimp on the creatures unless you absolutely have to. So I think that's the big takeaway is if you're playing Joe or I, just expect a lot of creatures coming down because they will be arriving. If not at turn one, by turn three, they will arrive.
They will arrive. And also, too, I would say this, the last thing, you know, I've actually wanted to tweet this, but I didn't want it to be controversial. But I wanted to bring this up is that, you know, I've been playing, you know, with a lot of recent people recently, and I think some people don't understand that combat sometimes is a part of people's decks. And it's not a personal attack on anyone. It's like, if you're open, and I got a Llanowar Elf, and I'm not doing anything, I'm gonna swing him and get a damage in, because that could mean, you know, the end of the game when you're like, oh well, I'm at one life and I'm gonna go off in combo, and it's like if I'd hit you with that Llanowar Elf early on, I would have got there. So that's just it's nothing personal. Like combat is just combat. It's part of the game. You know, if I was a Spellslinger deck and I had nothing else to do, and I had a few burn spells, I'd be like, all right, cool. I'm at the end of my rope. Let me just blah, 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 you know, go off and want, you know, burn spells. But, you know, it is what it is. So just putting it out there that combat is a form of, and also if you play in a combat deck, don't be afraid to swing. Don't let anyone sway you from not swinging. You need to swing and don't roll for it. Just pick your opponent and swing, because everybody's your opponent.
Yeah, I think that target and swing. Yeah, I think personally for me, playing CDH a lot has really gotten me to kind of really find out exactly what all the combat step can be useful for, right? It's like I already use the combat phase for virtually all of my decks already, but I think when you really get to the pinnacle of the format where you're playing competitively, every point of damage helps. Whenever someone is open, you attack them if you have the means to do that, because you never quite know if that life will come in handy later, especially when you're running into someone who's running ad nauseum decks. You always want to hit them, because that is 3, 4, 5 to 10 cards they maybe can't draw later on to try in their win attempt. There are a lot of really good times to attack. And then again, if you have a Ragavan out there, you need to get the value, right? So I mean, it's like you have to. So unless you need that Llanowar Elves or Elvish Mystic or a Mana Dork, whatever it is, for mana that particular turn, might as well swing with it, because you never know. That's why Chrom is so dang good, honestly. So there's a reason why Blue Farm is so good, honestly. But that's another story. Anyway, Joe, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been great having you on here. It's been great just talking about Tabletop Jocks, but also just EDH and life in general.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's just definitely, you know, like this went by super fast. Hopefully it goes for the people who are listening. You know, I had a blast and I'd love to come back anytime. Definitely hit me up. We got to get some games in
definitely
soon. So if you're ever in a pod and you need a fourth, holler at your boy.
All right. That's awesome. So yeah, before you go here, Joe, could you give a quick shout out to all the socials, not just for you, but also for Tabletop Jocks?
Definitely. Yeah, you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, the whole deal at @BlackNeedle_. Definitely follow Tabletop Jocks on YouTube. Like, subscribe, content, the Holy Trinity. And also, if you really are feeling the channel and you want to give back and support, definitely hit up our Patreon. We have a lovely community growing, all-inclusive. Honestly, the most POC, blurs, LGBTQ, BIPOC people I've been around in any Discord ever. And that's, I'm not trying to stroke my ego. That's just what it is. Like we gravitate towards having a lot of people. We're all inclusive. You can be from anywhere, anybody, come on in. We'll show you love. We'll show you support. Great, like I said, great community. We're having a great time. Yeah, just keep watching. We're gonna keep coming out with content, every 2 weeks. Yeah, that's it for me.
Well, yeah, I just want to say thank you to all you do, and yeah, don't stop, don't stop. It's been a great ride, and I can't wait to see what you and everyone else who's been on Tabletop Jocks are going to be up to next. So yeah, again, for all the listeners out there, definitely go check Joe and Tabletop Jocks out. There's a lot of great content out there, a lot of mixed content too. So it's not just Magic the Gathering; you also do D&D over there as well. So just a lot of cool stuff to check out, and yeah. Definitely make sure to check out both the channels. I will have them linked in the description of this video. And if you're interested in hearing any of the episodes that I have mentioned during the course of this podcast, or just any podcast in general on the MTG and Quarantine channel, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That is your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Podcast Addict, and a million others. I can never remember all of them, but hey, I did about 7 or 8, so I think that's pretty good. Yeah, and again, you can find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. Again, I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Row, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Face for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.